Good morning, Liberty. Good morning, friends. Thanks for joining this morning. It's a lot more fuller. just for me. And thanks, just for everyone getting through the year. And just, it's getting to that time of the year. We've got family and friends coming. And it's getting tiring. And we are feeling the weight of it. And so when I was asked to preach on a word, so I was expecting, someone just to give me something to preach on, but I realized, no, I had to find something, and that gets interesting. But I just felt the Lord really wanting to minister to us as a congregation, individually. In fact, God's been doing this 2,000 years ago, and He's not going to stop. And it's in line with just finishing strong, finishing well. And I just felt that in the book of Galatians. So we're going to start there. Let me just get my watch out. And we're going to read from Galatians. I know what's going to come up now. It's going to say Galatians 6:9, but I'm just going to read the whole text. And then I'm going to give you specifically the text I'm preaching on. And we're going to just draw out of that and take it from there. Oh, it did come out, the whole thing. Great. So, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with the instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Thank you. I'm going to be speaking on just the part where it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Why is Paul saying this to the church of Galatians? Liberty. What is his concerns? Why do we need a warning, a motivation? Surely you're okay. Surely I'm okay. Surely there's nothing to be worried about. Surely once saved means never weary, always motivated, nothing to worry about. I'm good, brother. Nothing can shake me. Or is Paul maybe just a bit concerned? This is a long journey, guys. We're going to go through a lot of things. Do not grow weary. At the proper time, we will reap a harvest. What are some of the things that come to mind when you think of weariness? So I've just got a few words here. Fatigued. Anyone fatigued? Extreme tiredness. Reluctance. Over it. I don't know. I think you've heard a lot of people say, I'm over it. That's pretty much in our culture lately. Guys, I'm over it. You deal with it. Bored. A lot of those around. Demotivated. Double-minded. Here's a big one. Burnout. So I went and got the Greek word. It says, for weariness, it says, ikakio, the kind of fatigue that makes a person want to quit. Appears nearly 6 times in the New Testament. Does it sound like maybe some of us? it's a real thing to be burnt out. There's a thing in endurance sports that they say you should drink water before you get thirsty, and you endurance people know about this, and you should eat food before you get, before you're hungry. Otherwise, it's too late. You don't recover. Similarly, we need to be reading the Word, spending time with God before it's hard. When the house is burning, where something's going wrong, it's very difficult to quickly go and read the Word, to quickly get to know the Lord, quickly just stay, let me go and get prayer time. No, it's too late. And so burnout comes when least expected. When can weariness start to creep in? What are the things that sometimes speak to you when you think of weariness? Church becoming work, so not joy. Maybe work has overwhelmed you. Maybe it's just too much. Financial woes, that's a big thing in our culture. You want to get weary? Just give me financial woes. I've got it. Pressures. Feeling like God has distanced himself from you. That's huge. You want to see a weary person drifting in the desert? He's got no God. He's felt God's left him, forgotten him. God doesn't love me. He's not interested in you. The devil loves this. Got you just where he wants you. Disappointment. Just feeling overwhelmed. I don't know if you guys, again, sorry, we're going a little bit in the endurance junkie side, but we'll get normality soon. Guy that's about to bungee jump, I don't know, I just thought of this. He's paid the price, he's phoned everyone, he's got the ticket, he's going on the journey. Nothing can let him know what's coming. He's climbed the ladder, he's taking selfies, he's got the video going, but he gets to the top. The knees start shaking. The mountains are higher than the land. Everything gets to him. The guy says, "You're up. You gotta go." "No, I'm leaving. Why did I pay my money? I'm not doing this. I'm going down." "No, no, no, no. There's a long line of people. You need to go." Sometimes you gotta get a push. And that's not fun. You don't want that. Sometimes you say, "Stuff it, I'm just going to do it." But the reward, when he lands and he actually does it, the endorphins, the joy, "I survived all that pain, all that suffering, all the noise, all over, I've done it." And he's happy and he's joyful. So why is Paul saying, "Do not be weary"? In fact, let's go back a bit. What's this thing about Galatians? What's going on in Galatians? Why are they so up and down, this way, that way? This is not good. He says, if we go in another scripture, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." Even further back, "Oh, you foolish Galatians, after beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh?" Paul is warning his people, watch out where you sow. Weariness, burnout, can make you start sowing in funny places. You were on a goal, you were on a mission. Weariness got to you. "I'm going to start doing my thing, my time, my money. I'm going down, stuff everything. Skipping church, soul group prayer meetings, spending time, my money in other places. I'm not going to sow to the Spirit anymore. I'm going to sow to the things of the world. Because this weariness, no one understands it. No one understands it but me. You can't tell me what I'm going through." From a kingdom mindset to a worldly mindset. I spoke about the prodigal son this year, I think it was. And it's a good reference of how he was sowing with the family. He was sowing with the father. He was sowing with his brothers. He was sowing there. But I'm going to just go and do something else for a while. Maybe weariness, maybe fatigue, maybe the thing of putting the chairs at the church, the cell group, maybe that's, I've just not seen result. There's something better. He does his walk. He sows to the flesh. He sows to destruction. Distance from God. So when you start sowing to destruction, Paul is warning, when you're on this journey and you're getting weary, guys, I'm warning you, I'm trying to motivate you, do not give up at the proper time. You will reap a harvest. Weariness can lead to all sorts of sins. What about alcohol? Abuse. You know, there's nothing you can tell a burnout guy that alcohol can't solve. That porn can't solve. Maybe the secretary at the workplace has become a little bit more attractive. Dishonest gain, lies, deceit, malice, prayerlessness. How do you solve a guy that's burnout to start going to pray? How do you fix that? How do you get in there? Ultimately, you're so far. How do you recover? We need a motivation. I think the beginning of the year, last year, I preached again at the end of the year, and it happens always when I'm going to do the Wine to Wales. I don't know why. And I look at the dates, and I think, okay, I need to either do it before or after, because listen, this is going to take everything out of me. Anyway, I did it, and it's a 3-day stage race, and day one, I think everyone's heard the story, but I'll just repeat it. Did my prep, did everything. My partner chose a good partner. It's not going to pressure me too much. Chose wisely. But I got so eager. We climbed the first mountain, and I'm seeing all these gels and all these protein shakes, and I'm saying, hey, come take. Just pop them, you know. Just let's get all the energy we need. Now we get to a place called Huntu Pass. It's quite a history. It's where the old wagons back in the day went up. We have to climb it now. And at this point, I'm saying, I'm okay. I'm feeling good. There's no issues. And we start this journey, and there's a long line of people, and these people are irritating me at the back because they got so much joy. They're talking. I don't know what's going on, and they are just having fun. My partner's in front of me. I'm saying nothing, not even a word. I'm starting to get weary. I'm starting to get fatigued. And I'm seeing this mountain. I don't cramp normally. We get halfway, and I see this one lady sitting like this, like a corpse. And I'm looking at her, and I'm saying, this is not a good sight. I need motivational people. Get further up. My partner's saying, yes, I'm pretty. Is this a triathlon? Anyway, we get to the top. I'm cramping. I'm not in a good place. I can't even smile. You're supposed to take a picture at there. I don't know how the picture came out. Partner's feeling better than me. And then I get on the bike, but now I need water. I'm very prideful, so I can't ask someone else now for water because they need that water. My partner's run out of water. And everyone's now on a mission. I'm fatigued, so excuse the pun, but I actually get nauseous and puke on the bike while riding. Partner looks, laughs. He falls while he laughs. I ride past him. Going downhill was a nightmare because when you're at a place now that you need water and you're dehydrated, you can't recover. You're in this place. You are fighting. You are fighting this weariness. You are fighting. All I have in me is that I can't let this guy down. I've got to finish. And if it takes 1% in me, there's a chance. get to, the, I'm looking, it's 5 kilometers to the water point. Get to the water point. Every pedal stroke was like a kilometer. If it was, every meter was like a kilometer. I sat on the pole and I said, God, please, I've got 15 kilometers to go. I'm not telling my partner this because he's just going to freak out. By the grace of God, I remember someone driving past, you know, you've got to make way. And he says, are you okay? And I said, no, I'm not good. And he says, oh, I'm sorry. It didn't help. I was like, you know, get to the finish line. Oh, my word. 6 milkshakes, 3 waters. This, I don't even care where people are. I'm lying on the grass in the shade. People are walking over me. I'm my wit's end. But there's this adrenaline, this joy, this, oh, my word. I had 1% in me, motivational, to push through, to not give up, and the joy afterwards, the ice bath afterwards, the sodium, the magnesium, everything had to come back in. But I had that in mind. I could have quit. And I'm not saying if you quit, you're a bad person. You could just maybe keep doing it again. But I'm just wired differently, and I'm going to push through. And I think everyone, at that point, if you find that little motivation, if you find that little thing that's going to just pull you through, it's stronger than a Joel. It's stronger than a Sami. It's stronger than anything that you can imagine. Just like the woman. I'm going to bring it up now. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if only I touch his cloak, I will be healed. Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed at that moment. 12 years. She didn't get weary. She didn't get tired. She didn't want to give up. What was motivating her? What was she thinking? She's been through doctors. She's been through counselors. Everyone's saying, woman, what are you doing? She believed in something greater than what people could say. In her fatigueness, in her tiredness. Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. She was waiting for Jesus for that day, for that time, and no one was going to stop her. You could get in her way, and I'll tell you now, she probably would have pushed you. She had the faith. She had the determination. Maybe you're going to get rocked. Maybe you're going to get told, give up. Maybe you're going to get told, have you seen the journey? Go back. But her eyes were on Jesus. And I believe if your eyes are on Jesus, nothing can stop you. Whatever the outcome, nothing can stop you. At the proper time, when you least expect it. See, the beauty is we don't know when we're going to die. We don't know when the miracles come in. We don't know. God knows. It stretches you. It endures you. It fills you. Therefore, do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. So what is seen is temporary. It's temporary. We are aging. We are wasting away. We are. But the spirit in me is bigger than what the world has. Bigger is he that is in me than the world has. When you've got the spirit, you're youthful, you're strong, you're sowing the things of the Lord. You want to give. You want to just go and do stuff. A farmer, when he starts his farm, everyone's doubting. Listen, do you know what you're getting in for? You want to lose money, start a farm. Not the farmer. He's passionate. He's hungry. He wants to see the fruit of his harvest. He goes through the viruses, the storms, the drought. He's got a motivation. He's got that vineyard in mind. He's got that thing in mind that he says, when it comes, guys, you don't know how good this thing is going to be. He's got the workers, the tractors involved. There's a team involved here. What does your harvest look like? What is your motivation? Is it seeing loved ones come to Christ? Is it seeing victory over drugs, over alcohol? Is it seeing the fruits of a friend or yourself to change? Is it getting to know the Lord deeper and more intimately? Is it victory over sin? But whatever your harvest looks like, we need to have that in sight. Because when you have that in sight, you've got hope. You don't know the time. Yes, the storms will come. Yes, the things will come. But you've got hope. You believe. There's a guy in the Bible called Joseph. Everyone knows the Pauls, everyone knows the Davids, everyone knows the this. But yes, Joseph, listen to this. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Joseph's role came at an unexpected time. He used his money. He sowed to the kingdom. Imagine weariness defeated him. Imagine he got burnt out because of the cares of life, comparing himself to others like Paul and the apostles. They the big guys. They doing all the things. I'm just a rich businessman. No, he knew God had called him. He knew he had a purpose. And who would have thought? Did he know that Jesus would be going in his tomb? I don't know. Because we get everything prepared. We get Martins involved. We get everything. I don't see them preparing, you know, we're going to do this when you die. Because Jesus kept telling them. But then he does. And who gets involved? Joseph. That's my calling. The right time, the business deals, the prayers, the diligence, it's paying off. Maybe you're a businessman and you're not in the thick of the other stuff, but you're useful and you're a tool and you don't know when the proper time's going to come when you're going to be needed. Maybe you're asking questions like Joseph might have had. Maybe I'm not winning all the souls. Nobody mentioning my name. Moses not seeing the promised land. Imagine that. Do you know what he went through? He had a harvest in sight. Maybe you're not seeing a lost one saved. Maybe your role is to help teams get to Madagascar, Namibia, Brazil. Because we all play this role together. The Joseph, he played a big role. Paul's playing a big role. Mary's playing a big role. You are playing a big role. Yet you think I must give up. My time's up. You've still got breath in your lungs. You can pray. You've still got time. Some people don't have time. That is a useful tool. You can be used in so many ways. Don't say I'm not useful. You are. Though the devil might trip you up and get you vulnerable, like he tried with Jesus in the desert. Vulnerable place, vulnerable. He's lost his business. He's lost his wife. He's lost his future. He's lost everything. I've got him. No. No. You guys know Trevor Noah? He's a funny comedian. I haven't followed him too much, but there's a part where someone interviewed him in London. And he spoke about a self-made millionaire. And Trevor laughed. He says, self-made? How dare you think you're self-made? Who gave birth to you? Who picked you up? Who gave you the education? Who dropped you off? Who gave you the money, the time, the laughter? But you say it's self-made. Sow into yourself. distance from God. I've tried everything else. I'm going to do it my way. No, there's been a whole lot of people involved to get you where you are. But Jesus understands you. Why does he understand you? Because he was also at a place of vulnerability, of complete and utter, I don't know what's going on, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Moments of pain coming, moments of betrayal coming. Maybe you've got that. Maybe someone's betrayed you so much, you can't go on. Maybe you've been lied to. Maybe church has hurt you. There's no one that's hurt Jesus more. What was his motivation? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. You. He had you in mind. And that was enough. I've heard many times people say, if it was just one guy that Jesus had to save, would he get down on his throne? Would he get off his throne? Would he come down to earth? Would he face all this? Go through the pain, the suffering, the anguish, just for you? That's crazy. That's a lunatic. That's someone that is loving way too much. No, he had you in mind. He pushed through the shame. He pushed through and trusted the Father. I want to see Jesus' harvest is you. It's us. Though he grow weary, though you grow weary, if you do not give up at the proper time, you will reap a harvest. What is your harvest? You are Jesus' harvest. He didn't stop. He pushed through. He had you in mind. The Father was gearing on. The Father was saying, this is my son. This is you. Have you seen Franchwan? Have you seen Yaku? Check them out. Though a righteous man falls, 77, he keeps getting up. It's not the giving up that's an issue. Sorry, it's not the falling down that's the issue. It's the getting up. Can you picture it? The dirty, Jesus dirty, waving this, people throwing tomatoes. You can never, you could do anything, nothing was going to stop him. Nothing. Not even when in his most vulnerable state. Do you have that motivation? Do you have that trust? Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He's the answer. You're weary? Don't take a gel like I did. Just going to get a sore stomach. It's fine, you can. Trust in Jesus. I will disappoint you. Your kids are going to disappoint you. I will disappoint my wife. I'm fallible. Jesus will never disappoint you. Though it might seem it's taking a long time, and you might think, Calvin, you've not lived a life. We've all got our stuff to carry. We've all got our load. But we've got a community. We've got friends to steer us on, to motivate us. Jesus was motivated by you. So let's not give up. If you feel like, Calvin, thanks. But you don't know. Speak to someone after this. It's never too late. Get some prayer involved. And with that, I'd like to, we're going to take communion. But I'd just like to read that scripture again as we're about to take it. And he took the bread, he gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. It's maybe individually, or if you'd like to do it with your family and friends, just maybe go and get our cup and our bread. Where have you been? The pain, the struggle, you know it, you've been through it. Father, as we drink this cup and we eat this bread, we think about what you've done for us. We think about you as our everything, as our motivation. Even that's it's a light word. You can't even compare you to motivation. You are everything. Father, where the road seemed gloomy, where it just seems like it's just tough to make this year, will you fill us afresh now, Lord? Will you fill us afresh? Though we grow weak and weary, Lord, though we are grown weak and weary, but your Spirit is alive in us. And I pray, Lord, for those that have not been touched even now, will you touch them afresh? Will you fill them up, Father God? Will you give them hope, joy, peace? Because those far outweigh anything else compared to the destruction of sowing to the flesh. We want to sow to you. We want to sow to the Spirit. Fill us, I pray, our families, those that don't know you, as we go into the what they call silly season, Lord. May we be representatives of you. May we shine your light to those that are coming that don't know you. May we be the voice and the hope. May liberty go from strength to strength. Though we grow weak and weary, at the proper time we will reap this harvest, Lord. Thank you for everything you've done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.